Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Dr. Alex Avila for Love University. I'm a clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And the purpose of this university here is to teach you how to love yourself, others, and a higher power. And we're getting to a very exciting time of the year, which is basically the beginning of the new year. And many things happen. People change situations, they try new things, and they decide to change their life. So our topic today is the power of the new resolution. Now we hear a lot about resolutions, New Year's resolutions, basically changing your behavior for a new start, a fresh start. And many times January 1st and the month of January is that time when people say, hey, I want to lose weight. I want to save more money. I want to find a love partner. I want to change my career. Now, it started with the ancient Babylonians. 4,000 years ago, in the middle of March, during the springtime, they had crops and they would celebrate the new crops. Later in the early Christians would talk about a time of reflection in the beginning of the year where you could look at your past and make changes for the better. Now, 45% of people make resolutions, but guess what? Only 8% of them keep them. For many people, it's very hard. They get involved in a lot of activities, they forget what they wanted to do, and they don't follow through. Interestingly enough, there's some parts of the world, and here in the U.S., where people keep their resolutions more. For example, they say in Florida, they keep resolutions more than other states like California or New York. I don't know if there's the sunshine or they have oranges or something, but that seems to be the case. In terms of the types of resolutions, fitness is number one. Many times people want to lose weight, eat healthier. Also money, being able to save more, to have a better budget is also something that people want to do for resolutions, getting out of debt. Now, who do you think keeps resolutions more, men or women? Interestingly enough, women make more resolutions, but men actually follow through more. Again, I don't know exactly why the gender difference is, but there is such a thing. On the other hand, older people tend to have a more hard time keeping resolutions. Sometimes they're more set in their ways, and it's hard for them to perhaps change a behavior. What's the best month for a resolution? It's not necessarily January. Actually, they say August. In the summer, maybe people have more energy in summer. It's a different outlook, sunnier time. People have a better time, apparently, keeping their resolutions in summertime. So what are some good resolutions? Let's think about it. The year is now starting. My engineer, Reggie, is sitting here with me. He's got a nice green shirt and a nice colorful tie. So Reggie, tell me, what is your New Year's resolution?
I want a better body.
A better body? Well, I thought you were already a Mr. Olympia. You're 6 feet five and 500 pounds of muscle. No. Okay. All right. Well, actually, that's very common. People want to either lose weight. They want to eat healthier. They want exercise. People want many times better education, take courses, new friends. How about making your home cleaner, or more organized? A lot of us tend to be cluttering people or we get a little messy. So we want to keep our house cleaner. Learning a new skill, getting a new job or promotion. How about this? Eating better and also sleeping better. Now, the power of sleep is something really fascinating that many of us are very stressed. We're very tense and we don't really get a really undisturbed sleep. Our mind is very worried all the time. One time I was at a spiritual center and I saw someone walk past me, and this person had very long flowing hair and looked like a homemade robe. I didn't know if it was male or female. But later on, I learned it was a young man, a male, who was actually Native American. And he was in the spiritual center, and he seemed very content, very happy. And during the class, there was an intermission, and I asked him, tell me about yourself. He said, well, I'm a college student. I'm studying engineering. I'm also a Native American. And I make my own clothes. And I live very simply. And I eat very, very simply. And I'm very happy and very content. And he's also a spiritual person. And then I asked him, well, what is your secret of happiness? I thought he might say, I'm close to God or, my family or whatever it is. But he said something that surprised me a little bit. He says, I get a good night's sleep. And that was it. I thought, wow, it seems so simple. Don't all of us get good night's sleep? A lot of people don't. There's nervousness, there's tension. The people have technology overload. So your mind is, going in 100 million miles an hour. So perhaps doing something like meditating before you go to sleep, taking a nice hot bath, reading a book, listening to music, praying, whatever it is that you do to calm yourself, this can be a very important practice when it comes to sleeping. Because sleeping is very crucial for your physical health, to regenerate yourself, for your mental health as well. Reducing stress is another resolution, and that's part of what we talked about. And also spending more time with friends and family, because many times we get so busy, you know, with our technology and rushing around that we forget the most important thing is the love that we have for our friends and family. So those are good resolutions, but here's the question though, people ask, okay, you know, the end of the year comes, the new year comes, I write this stuff down, I got, you know, 10 different goals, but I don't keep them. Why? Here's an answer, is that your mind doesn't match your goals. In other words, the way you think about yourself, your self-belief is not equal to your goals. So I want to lose 40 pounds, you know. Maybe you don't believe you have the discipline for that. Or I want to start a new career or find a romantic partner, love partner. Maybe you don't feel worthy of it. Maybe you feel inadequate. So your mind is really giving you a mixed message. Part of you wants it and the other part of it thinks you're not going to have it. And what happens is that when your expectations are much different from what your belief system, your inner belief, you have frustration. And many times even your self-esteem goes down because you believe I can't really accomplish what I really want. So part of it is making a connection that's stronger between your belief system, what you think you deserve or you can accomplish, and your goals so that they are in line with each other. So I can say I'm a disciplined person. I'm a focused person. I'm a hard worker. I deserve to have, whether it's love or finances or friendship or success in my career or good health, and I'm going to accomplish it. That is a different mindset that's going to help you actually achieve your goals. In psychology, we call it self-efficacy, your self-belief. You really believe that you are worthy of and can accomplish these particular goals. So let's take it into some tips now. Now, people like tips, right? They like to learn techniques. So how do we achieve our goals? How do we achieve our resolutions? You know, how do we achieve these things that make us feel happy if we accomplish them? Number one is to focus on one main resolution or goal in the year, not several. Many times we get carried away and we have so many goals. I want to lose 40 pounds, get married, make $1 million, go to Hawaii, and be on Dancing with the Stars. So these are, you know, so many different conflicting goals. It's very hard to focus on one. And part of the key issue here is what we call moving the goal closer to you psychologically. In other words, seeing that goal as something you can actually achieve, something that's close to you, that feels easier. And basically, you want to find a goal that's realistic, but also challenging at the same time. If it's unrealistic, the goal is too far away. If it's too challenging, then it also is very difficult. But if it's too easy, then you're not really going to have the motivation to do it. And they've actually done interesting studies looking at your blood pressure. Your blood pressure is going to rise a little bit if you have a goal that's a little bit difficult. And if it's moderate difficulty, it will rise more. But if it's extremely difficult or almost impossible, your blood pressure will drop because it's almost as if you're giving up. You know, you're no longer putting the energy and desire in it, so your blood pressure goes down. So again, you want a middle ground where you have the desire to do it, but you also have the belief that you can do accomplish this goal and the ability. A specific goal is always good, but they actually have studies where it's better sometimes to have a range. Instead of saying I'm going to lose 40 pounds, say I'll lose between 20 to 40 pounds. It gives you more control and more flexibility. And they did a study where they asked people, okay, here's some M&Ms. So I want you to eat as few M&Ms as possible in the next 20 minutes. I know for some of us, you know, it's hard to do, right? Because we love chocolates and M&Ms. And they found that people that were given a range, eat between 3 to 8 M&Ms, actually ate fewer M&Ms because they felt they had more control and they enjoyed the experiment more. They were felt more comfortable and more motivated. So sometimes that can give you a little bit of leeway, you know, where you have a range in terms of your goals, what you want to accomplish. Another tip is to immerse yourself in the goal, to actually put it 100%. They say one of the best ways to learn a foreign language is to actually go to that country, you know, whether it's Mexico for Spanish or China for Chinese, and live there for a period of time, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, and speak with the native people there and basically immerse yourself in the language. This is a great way to learn. Another thing is, don't just make it, you know, New Year's Eve or the first month of January. Make it a year-long process. So think of goal setting as a daily event. Every day you look over your goal, you think upon it, you meditate upon it, and you take action. Don't just wait till the end of the year or wait for a specific time when you try to, you know, set your goal or work on it. But goal setting is a full year process. Think of it as every day you're getting closer and closer. Whether your aim is to save more money, take a trip, find a love partner, maybe start a business, change your health habits, whatever it is that you want. You want to do it on a daily basis so you're getting closer to it. And again, the psychological side where it looks closer to you. You know, if it's far away, you know, somewhere in the future, it's hard to really get excited. But if you start to see it coming closer and closer, that's going to motivate you more and give you more of that intensity that you want. The other thing is make it a lifestyle change, not just a goal. So if you do want to, you know, maybe lose weight, think of it as transforming your body, you know, diet, exercise, also some of the choices that you do, maybe quitting smoking if that's a problem for you, slowing down on your drinking, spending more time in positive environments, maybe in nature or with positive people. So think of it as an overall transformation of yourself, not just something that you do once in a while. The other thing that's good, and this is one that I like, is know your why. Why are you doing this? What's really motivating you? They say that if you know the why, you can find the how easily. The how is how you actually achieve the goal. But what motivates you? You know, what propels you toward this goal? Now, I teach psychology at the college. And many times, you know, I have an early morning class, 8 a.m. class on a Friday or even a Saturday. Imagine getting up that early in the morning. You know, nobody likes to get up early, especially if you're out the previous night. Reggie's laughing, right? You remember that, Reggie, when you were in college, you know, the whole thing. Yes, you know, if you have a hangover, it's even worse, but we don't want to talk about that. So then I asked the students, you know, why are you here in this class? You know, what are you really here? What motivates you? Now, some students say, and this is very common, well, I mean, I want to make more money. I want to, you know, get a good job after graduation. I want to improve my lifestyle. But then I ask them, really, what goes further than that? What's deeper? You know, what really motivates you? Why do you want to make more money? And then some of them say, well, honestly, you know, I'm the first in my family to go to college. Some, you know, Latinos or other minorities often say this. And I feel proud. My family feels proud for me. Or they say, because of my child, I'm going to school, you know, because I want to set a great example for them. You know, I want them to be proud of me as well, to feel that they can also accomplish this, what I'm doing. Other people say, I want to help people. Now, helping people, you know, this is a very generic thing, you know, but why you want to help people? I want to be a nurse. Why? And then they say, well, when I was a kid, I got very sick. And I remember the nurse was there, took care of me, and I want to give that same thing back. Or I was abused as a child, and I want to be a social worker, or a therapist, a counselor, because I want to help other children that have been abused. So finding that why that motivates you is so crucial. It comes from the root motive to move, either to move towards something that you want or move away from something you don't want. So moving toward, you know, the natural instincts, food, sex, pleasure, love, approval, or moving away from things you don't want, rejection, danger, pain. So we're always either moving forward or moving backward. So to move forward and to really find what motivates you, we got to look deeper down. You know, what is that true nature that makes you want to do this thing? Whether it's losing weight, saving money, maybe you want to save for your college, you know, your kids' college education. Maybe you want to change your job because you hate your position. Maybe you're an accountant or lawyer or doctor, or maybe you're a creative artist and you want to do something else. You want to do something that really fulfills you. The other thing that's interesting is have an accountability partner, someone that can hold you accountable for your resolution, for your goal. Maybe it's a good friend, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a family member that will say, hey, you know, you achieved these certain things. Okay, keep on it. You know, you did 100 push-ups today. Tomorrow you're going to do, you know, 150. You ate less Twinkies today. Tomorrow, you know, you're going to do this. You're studying for this exam. You know, how did you do on the exam? Or maybe you're slacking off. You know, maybe you are, you know, giving up a little bit of your resolution. So they can help you get back on track, you know, critique you. Come on now. You know, you're going to, you know, run these X miles and you're not doing it. You're going to save a lot of money, but you splurged on that trip. Okay, so you're not really following through on your goals. So this partner of yours, this accountability partner, can help you keep on track and can give you motivation and inspiration to continue with your goal and hold you accountable that there's someone else out there that's knowing what you're doing. That can be a very positive for your achieving your goals. Now, you're working hard, right? Your goal, Reggie, is to lose how many pounds?
Enough.
Okay, let me give you a figure. Okay, 30 pounds. Okay, Reggie. So you lost 5.5 pounds this week. Well, guess what? Let's celebrate. Now, I don't mean to go out and have a bunch of tacos or a bunch of, sweets, but maybe you can have a cheat day, or maybe you can just go out with friends and just enjoy the time with them. So celebrate small successes. It's a very important thing. Because sometimes you think we have to achieve the goal, lose all the 40 pounds or save the X amount of money before we celebrate, but that actually postpones it too much. And, you know, we as humans, we like our gratification. So whether you buy yourself a nice shirt or something, you know, you got a good grade in a course, or you go out and see a movie, whatever it is that can give you a little bit of pleasure, a little reward for achieving a part of that goal, what we call a milestone. So you're taking step by step. So the first step, second step, third step, you celebrate. You know, you give yourself that feeling that, hey, I'm on the way. I'm achieving these goals little by little. Now, not all goals are easy to achieve. Some are difficult. You know, starting a new business, for example, starting a new career, even finding a love partner, you know, romantic partner. So we might go out on X number of dates, but we don't meet the right person. We're frustrated. So we need to have a plan B. So have an option plan. Maybe I can develop friends first, you know, have a group of friends. We can involve in some activities. And from there, maybe eventually find the right person. That can be my plan B. Or maybe I'm not going to go to graduate school like I thought, but I'm going to go to some other training program where I can learn some skills that will be similar to what I need. So whatever it is that you really want, it may not work out. You know, maybe you want to be an opera star. Maybe you don't have the chops to be an opera star, right? Or the talent. Or, you know, Reggie, you want to be a starting center for the NBA Lakers, for example. So, you know, that would work, right? Okay. Maybe not. But maybe you can be a broadcaster for the Lakers or for a professional basketball team, right? Maybe you can be a publicity person for them or whatever it is. So you can also have an option, right? Have an option where you can fit in somewhere in the goal that you want. It may not be the exact goal, but it could be something very similar. And finally, this is one of my favorite ones, is maintain persistence despite the setbacks. Now, in many cases, people that have resolutions, that have these goals, often slip. You know, they go back to their previous pattern. In fact, 71% of people with resolution goals actually go backwards. You know, they, you know, cheat on their diet. They stop going out socially if they want to meet the right partner. They drop out of college for a semester or drop out of school. And the key is that whether you succeed or not in your resolution doesn't depend on you going backwards. It depends on you going forward despite that setback. So the people that keep their resolutions, and by the way, the key is to get past January. Okay, January, 2/3 of people quit the resolutions at the end of January. Okay, so if you can get beyond that, you're the one of the third that's doing well. But the people that do well and keep their resolutions have persistence. No matter how difficult it seems, and maybe they slip up, maybe they're trying to quit an addiction. Maybe it's some kind of drug they're taking or substance, and they go back, they have relapse. Some people just say, well, I'm just an addict or whatever it is. Other people say, no, I'm going to keep on my path of abstinence. You know, I'm going to keep pursuing it. Or whether it's exercise or even saving money or whatever it is, or meeting people. So being able to go beyond that setback is the differentiating factor, is to have that persistence. You know, I call it invincibility of mind and body. To be invincible is to persevere despite the circumstances, to have resilience. So Reggie, you know, we're now at this point, right, where the New Year is upon us. And we have some tools now. These are tools that we're going to help you keep your resolutions, keep those goals, and build upon them. Because think about it, no matter how many years you live, another 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, you always have that opportunity to grow, right, and to change. And this is all about growth. Love University is about teaching you the tools, the psychological tools through positive psychology, Eastern philosophy, spiritual and psychological principles that can help you really become that loving person, that person that has passion and power. Now, we're going to have some events coming up. We're going to have what we call Networking with Love, where we can interact with business people on a positive basis based on compassion and gratitude and kindness. And also, we're going to have the Dating Masquerade coming up, where people have masks on and they meet each other based on their personality type. And we want to create a community here for you. And Love University is about students that want to learn, you know, the loving energy without expectation, how to connect with each other, how to make this world a better place. If you want to contact us and be on our show or send us some ideas and suggestions, you can call us at 310-226-8090. Email us at lovetype, L-O-V-E-T-Y-P-E, the number 4, letter U, at AOL.com. And I want to make an announcement, Reggie, and I know this is something you're looking forward to, is we have our new website up. It just came up. So it's called loveuniversity.love. You know, you've heard of .com, right? And other ones like that, but we're about love, right? So we're going to keep it at love. So loveuniversity.love. We have the blogs there where we have articles that we've written on how to improve your life and relationships. We have some of our videos up there, our events, a little bit about our mission. So definitely look into that. You know, type in loveuniversity.love and send us comments and questions and some of your feedback. And of course, we love success stories. In our last event, I think, Reggie, you were there, we had a couple who had, actually not really a couple, they're friends, okay, male, female, Latino college students, probably mid-20s. They had known each other for 10 years and had been best friends. But then I did the love type analysis, right? We did this whole compatibility analysis, and it turned out they were actually perfect for each other. And they actually started laughing and smiling, and they were so shy, but they had this recognition to each other that, hey, this is my soulmate. And they walked out hand in hand. It was a beautiful moment. Now, Reggie, my engineer, it looks like you're getting a little bit teary-eyed. Or maybe you ate some onions or something. But it is beautiful where two people can recognize each other, you know, as soulmates. And even though they didn't know that, they were friends. So that's what we're looking for here at Love University, is bringing out the love inside you that you already have. See, this is nothing new. You know, we're not teaching you anything that a rocket scientist needs to know. Is very basic principles, but these principles are very powerful and the knowledge is already within you. So until next time, we anticipate your New Year's resolutions will become New Year's realities and that your hopes will become fulfilled dreams and that your desires will be manifested and completed. Until next time, this is Dr. Avila, your professor for Love University.